K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5, KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder, and the gospel continues to grow, praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 What a mighty God you are. How awesome you are. We thank you, my Father, once again, for the precious opportunity to come all the way into your very presence, Father. Me and the people, Father, that you have, Lord, and we hear your broadcast under the sound of my voice, Father, that we can come boldly to your throne and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And Father, you know every need that's represented out there in Radio Land. Father, you know what it is, spirit, soul, and body. So we come to you, Father, and we say thank you, Lord, for saving us. We say thank you, Lord, for healing us. We say thank you, Lord, for delivering us. And we say thank you, Lord, for providing for us, Lord God. What a mighty God you are. You've already saved us. You've already provided salvation for us. You've already provided healing for us. You've already provided deliverance for us. And you've already provided provision for us, Father. And just like you did, Lord, with the children of Israel and Moses, Father, hallelujah, you saved them from the bondage of Pharaoh's and his Egyptian kingdom. You healed them, Father, when they ate the lamb. That's what they took the blood of the lamb and sprinkled it on the doorpost of the house. They ate the lamb. And Father, your word said, when the feeble-minded one among them. So, Father, you healed them all. Then you delivered them, Father, from the bondage of Pharaoh's and his demon co-host, Father. You set them free already. And Father, every need that they had that was represented out there in the wilderness, Father, while they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, you met every need, Father. So just like you saved them, Father, in Moses' day, the children, your children, just like you healed them, just like you delivered them, and just like you provided for them, Father, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same thing you're doing today, Father. And constantly, Father, bringing men and women to the knowledge that you've already saved them through your Son, Jesus Christ. That you've already healed us, Father, by the stripes that was upon his back. That you've already delivered us, Father, for who the Son set free is free indeed. And, Father, you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. And for that, Father, we say thank you, my Father. Now we humble ourselves under your mighty hand and the ministry of your Holy Spirit, Father, that you would develop us and strengthen us and build us up, Father, so that we might bring glory to your name, Father, that we might bring manifestation to your word, that we might walk and live, talk and act pleasing in your sight, so that we can hear you say, well done, my good and faithful children. Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. All of the kingdom of heaven, my Father, that was prepared for us before the foundations of the world. And for that, Father, we say thank you, Lord. Now, Holy Ghost, we give you free reign. Speak through these lips of clay. Anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church in this hour, and draw us closer, that we may continue to go on, going from glory to glory to glory. So, Holy Spirit, have your way on this radio broadcast today. And as always, we're careful to give you all of the credit, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, mighty men and mighty women, the word of God said this. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, Jesus said this here. You say, he'll do it for you. You see what? He said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, but ask in my name, and my Father will do it for you. Father, he wants your joy for you. He wants our prayers answered. Hallelujah. So when we ask him in the name of Jesus, you know, that means that God has given us the power of attorney. That's the right to act as though it was Jesus himself, to act on his behalf, to represent him. I'm going to say that again. Boy, he's given us when he say in the name of Jesus, that gives you the power of attorney, the right to use that name. The right to act on his behalf, the right to go before the Father as if it was Jesus, Lord himself. You know what he did? He said, Father, I know that you always hear me. Not sometimes, not most of the time. Not maybe, could be, but shall be, most definitely. I know that you always hear me, Father. So he, hallelujah. So he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Because, boy, listen, he already know, boy, I'm talking about whatever he asked the Father was going to do it. Hallelujah, because he's going to ask according to the will of the Father. Glory to God. He'll say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll do it for you. What's your problem, Father? You have to have faith and confidence in that. You got to have faith and confidence in the Word of God. It's more than just a feeling. It's more than just an emotional experience. It's more than just a religion. It's more than just rituals and ceremonies and traditions. It's more than just having church. It's more than Bible study. It's more than the radio broadcast. It's more than all those things that we do. All those things that are incorporated in it, but it's much more than that. What is it, Lord? It's an inheritance. And the inheritance, man, is the greatest inheritance that we could have, man. I think the simplicity of it would make it hard. The devil don't ever want you to know, man, about your inheritance. So if you don't know about your inheritance, man, you won't never go after it. You won't never claim it. If somebody left you $1 million and you didn't know nothing about it, man, you wouldn't even be talking about it. You wouldn't even be pursuing it. You wouldn't even be going after it. You would die poor, broken, hungry, and all the time you're a millionaire. Well, how come, man, you know you die poor, broken, hungry, and you're a millionaire because you don't know? That's why God say, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It ain't, man, you know, a lack of knowledge of what? A lack of knowledge, man, of what God is doing. I ain't saying a lack of knowledge of what, man, the politicians are doing, what Trump doing, what church doing, what religion doing, what the Muslim doing, the Hindu doing, the Buddhist doing, the Christian doing, the whoever doing, and what mankind is doing. No, if you don't come to the knowledge of what God is doing. Because let me tell you something, man, everything else, man, everybody else is doing, they're going to pass away. But, boy, I'm talking about, man, what God is doing, that's eternal. And if something is eternal and we get in on something that's eternal, it's like a preservative. It'll preserve you. Like I say, the simplicity of it is make it hard. It's so simple. But you have an inheritance. And your inheritance is all of the kingdom of heaven. All of the kingdom of heaven. Everything that consists of, that was yours. It was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Nobody, the devil, don't ever want you to know nothing about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And then and it said he don't want you to know nothing about this. He sure don't want you to know that that's your inheritance, that it belonged to you, that it was yours before the foundation of the world. So he'll preoccupy you with trying to get what you already have. Trying to go to a place that's been bought to you. We try to get saved, man. We try to get saved, man. We already saved. saying that if we do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that, man, and we'd be saying, no, man, it's not by grace you are saved, through faith. And that's not about self. That's a gift from God. The devil don't want, he wants you trying to get what you already have. You're already saved. That was 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died upon the cross for the sins of the human race. God ain't got no problem, man, saving the human race. God got a problem, man, of the human race coming to the knowledge, man, of his free gift of salvation. As a gift from God, nothing you can do to earn that. Not of worries, lest we should have something to boast about. It's a gift from God. Righteousness, man, that's a gift from God. You try to get it right, you try to quit sinning, man, so that you can become more righteous. When the fact of the matter is, man, the more righteous you realize, the more righteous you realize that you already are, the less you're sinning. You're trying to sin less so that we can become more righteous. No, the Bible says, awake to righteousness. The more you are come to the knowledge that you are the righteousness of God already in Christ Jesus, and you stop trying to get what you already have and start being who you already are. You start being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You start being the head, not the tail. You start being here. You start being blessed. You start being heir of the kingdom. You start being. You start, man, the Bible calls it work. You start becoming. Becoming what? Everything that the word say. The word say, come, you who are blessed of your father, and get your inheritance, the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Man, listen. I tell you, boy, heaven and earth gonna pass away, but the word of the Lord gonna abide forever. So I came to a simple knowledge of something. If they're gonna abide forever, then every day they're gonna pass away, and it be in our best interest, boy, to get something that's gonna live and abide forever, down past our intellect, down all the way into our very being, our very spirit, out to our heart. Because if you get down to our spirit and our heart, they're gonna preserve us for all eternity. And not only preserve us for all eternity, but preserve us in a place, in a position, in the presence of the Most High God, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, eternity. But that, boy, that's the word of God. Boy, you get that on the inside of you, Lord, and it's going to keep you. It'll preserve you. It'll save you. It'll heal you. It'll deliver you. It'll provide for you. What? Because, boy, that's already yours. That's already there to give the Father great pleasure, the Bible says. I'm going to say this again. The Bible says it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom, for you to have, man, all your inheritance, for you to get men saved in every area that we might need saving in, for us to get healed in every area that we might need healing in, for us to get delivered from everything that we need deliverance from, and for us to get provision for everything that we need provision. It gives the Father great pleasure. The Bible says, herein is the Father glorified that we bear much fruit. What? That you become, man, everything that word says. That word says you to hear, not to tell. That word says, boy, by his stripes you hear, then you start becoming that. You start, man, becoming that. How you become that, Arthur? By, man, you know, coming to the knowledge of it, that that's yours and it belongs to you. Getting an understanding of it, so that you can know how to go about getting it, and then, man, applying it to your everyday life. That's the most crucial stage, where the application of God's word. There's three stages of it. You got to see what it says first. That's why the devil don't ever want you to know the word of God. That's why he don't ever want you to get the word of God on the inside of you. Why? Because he know that that's going to last forever. And if you get that on the inside of you, yeah, he's going to keep you. So he don't, first thing he don't want you to do is come to the knowledge of what God is doing. That's why God said, my people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. But they don't know, man, what God doing. Not just a lack of knowledge across the board, man. People got a lot of knowledge, man. For well, that knowledge that they have, we just use 10%. But anyway, man, people, they don't have a knowledge of what God is doing. They got a knowledge of what a lot of things are doing and what a lot of people are doing and what government is doing and what politicians are doing and what ministers are doing and what man is doing. But, man, you know, even the church don't have a lot of knowledge of what God is doing. All right, what do you call that, what God is doing? What God is doing is called the kingdom of God. What is that? What God is doing. Dear Lord. What God is doing, man, he's going, man, to and fro the earth. He's looking for men and women, man, that he can show himself, man, mighty on their behalf. that he can do exploits through, that he can do great and mighty things through, that he can use you like he did Peter, James, and John, and all the rest of the disciples, do what, man, make a fisherman of men, winning souls to the kingdom of God. I ain't talking about having church. I ain't talking about putting on programs. I ain't talking about doing seminars. I ain't talking about doing radio broadcasts and having good. I ain't talking about none of that. That's included in it. I'm talking about winning souls to the kingdom of God. We are preoccupied that, man. We get preoccupied with what? We're trying to win them to the church. Trying to invite them, trying to get them to come to church. And listen, don't misunderstand. That's a good thing. But that's a means to an end. The whole purpose for them coming to church is for them to come to the knowledge, man, of the kingdom. Listen, the theme of the Old Testament is the restoration of God's kingdom. That's all of the Old Testament is about, man. Everything that the means through which God went through down through time to get his kingdom restored, man, back on the earth. That's the Old Testament. That's what it's about. Different periods in human history when God dealt with mankind in particular ways. All headed toward one destination, one goal was to restore man the relationship that God had with Adam and Eve, which is incorporate all mankind before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I keep saying this on the radio broadcast. I want that to get down into your past your intellect, down into your spirit, to get past your five sense reasonings, down into your very heart, down into your spirit, man, and your soul. Well, get that man down on the, I'm talking about, get that, I'm saying, get it past your intellect, man, to the way they get down on the inside of you, to where they become a part of you. But just like the Bible said about Jesus, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you know what he said about that? And of his fullness. What was he full of? Grace and truth. What was he full of? God's favor toward mankind, God's love toward mankind, God's salvation for mankind, God's healing for mankind, God's deliverance for mankind, God's peace for mankind, God's joy for mankind, God's purpose and destiny for mankind. What was he full of, man? How I call it all about something? Of his fullness have we all received. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Of his fullness. What was he full of? Grace and truth. The grace of God, the favor of God, and the reality of that favor. The reality of that favor, the manifestation of that favor, the manifestation of that salvation, the manifestation of that healing, the manifestation of that deliverance, the manifestation of that provision. The manifestation of the answered prayers. Glory to God. The manifestation of it. The glory of it. Hallelujah. And boy, the devil don't ever want us to come to the knowledge of your inheritance. You don't ever want you to find out, boy, that you are heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Isn't everything, man, belong to Jesus by reading the creation, and you are joint heir with him. Everything that he has, you have. I'm going to say it again. That's why I say you got to get past our intellect. It gets going one day and come out the other. The devil, man, try to rob the meat of that word or the fruit of that word out of your life. It comes to you in second what? That, man, I'm talking about you are joint heir with Christ Jesus. Say that again, brother. I say you are joint heir with Christ Jesus. You're heir of God. That means you have an inheritance. And you are joint heir with Christ Jesus. That means everything that Jesus has, you have. What Jesus is, Jesus is Lord. He's the owner. He's the owner of everything by reason of creation. And you are joint heir with him. You're a little Lord. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. You're acting like he's the only Lord, man. You don't own nothing. You're acting like he's the only king. You don't rule nothing. But he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Them kings he's the king of, that's you and I. Them lords that he's the Lord of, that's you and I. We'll be living and dying like mere men and mere women when all the time the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 82, you are little gods and children of the Most High God. No longer servants, but children, sons of God. And I say it again, that's in Galatians. And if sons of God, then heirs of God, that inheritance. And that's why I say, boy, if you don't know about your inheritance, if you don't know what you're an heir of, then you won't pursue it. You won't go after it. If you look at it in the light of religion, you won't go after it either too much. Why? Because the religion is not too much appealing. Why? Because you can't seem to get man things manifested through religion. Can't seem to get a breakthrough through religion. Can't seem to get prayers answered through religion. Listen, man, a prayer service ought to be the largest service, man, that's conducted by the church. It's the smallest service. You ought to have more people in prayer night, man, prayer meeting than you have on Sunday service. Say that again, brother. I said we ought to have more people in prayer night, man, prayer meeting, man, than we have in the Sunday service. You have a good Sunday service, especially if you've got a good guest speaking and everything else, you fill the church up. You do a seminar, a musical, boy, you fill the church up. Call a prayer meeting, man, you can't fill the first two rows up. Why? How do you think that is, man? Well, you know, prayer night is the less attended service in the church when it's the most important service of the church. Because people can't seem to get an answer. Listen, if you got an answer to your prayer every time you pray, man, you're going to have no problem praying. You do just like what the Bible says. Men ought always to pray without ceasing. If every time you pray and God sent the answer, man, you would never stop praying. But why don't pray? Hey, man, because you can't get an answer. If you put, man, a dollar in the Coke machine and don't nothing come out, and then, man, you come back the next day, put another dollar in the Coke machine and still not, and hit the button and nothing come out, and you do that for about a week, then you do that for about a month, then you keep putting your dollar in for about 6 months, man, or a year. Shoot, after a while, man, you ain't going to put your dollar in there no more. Why? Because it ain't working. Same thing with prayer, man. You know, people don't pray. Why? Because, man, can't get no answer. You pray for, man, people get healed and they die. You pray for business getting mad, man, and, man, people lose their jobs at home and everything. You pray for certain things to happen, man, and seem like, man, you know God didn't answer your prayer. Yes, he did. He said, you call upon me and I'll answer you. You can't lie. Now, whether you receive your answer or not, that's a different thing. But you say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll do it for you, man. He can't lie. You say, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. He can't lie. You ask God to save you. You think he said no? You ask God to heal you. You think he said no? You ask God to help you. You think he said no? You ask him to deliver you. You think he said no? Nobody say, I already saved you. I already healed you. I've already delivered you. I've already supplied all your needs according to my riches and glory. Not according to the economy. Not according to what man, the Trump administration is doing and all the other political administrations are doing across the face of the earth. Because I supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. It's all right to come to the knowledge of what's going on in the world. But man, that ain't what dictates to us, not in the kingdom of God. The word of God is the final authority. Glory to God. Heaven and earth gonna pass away. What they doing and everything else, that's gonna pass away. What Trump's doing, the political world is doing out there, man, and the earth today, all that's gonna pass away. But the word of the Lord gonna abide forever. It ain't never gonna pass away. So man, you know, in spite of what's going on in the world, I wanna know what's going on, man, in God. Hallelujah. So that, man, that can protect me and preserve me from everything that's going on in the world. How you know that? Because the word says, what? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Good God Almighty. Say again, brother. I say, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. What is that? In the presence of the Most High God. In the kingdom of the Most High God. in on what God is doing, boy. In the presence of the Most High God in the Garden of Eden. Position in him. Him and you, you and him, Jesus and us and them, we all one. A place, a position. Jesus called it, boy, the kingdom of heaven. And then he gave an invitation. What's the invitation? Come on in. Ain't no flaming sword there, man. Ain't no angels with flaming sword there to protect the way to the tree of life. Them angels gone, man. Remember when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they got put out of the Garden of Eden and God put angels with flaming sword to keep them men away from the tree of life so they wouldn't lead off that tree of life and live forever in that rebellious, fallen state that they was in? Well, them angels gone, baby. The only thing, ain't no angels there to protect the way of the tree of life. It's a door there now. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, I'm not here. I'm the way to it. I'm the truth about it. I'm the life about it. What's the it? All of the kingdom of hell, your inheritance, that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. I'm the way to that. I'm the life about that. I'm the truth about that. I'm the reality about that. I didn't come, man, to make you a religious people or to establish a religion. I come to set up, man, a governance system of heaven. What's the governing system of heaven? The ruling authority of heaven. The way things are ran in heaven. The way things operate in heaven. The way it is in heaven. In fact, you've been praying it all your life and perhaps have not understood what you've really been praying. What? Our Father, which art where? In heaven. Give me promise. Hallowed be thy name. That's glory and honor and praise and adoration. And then the first request, let your kingdom come, Lord. What? No, give me a house, Lord. I need a job, Lord. Lord, my children did it. Lord, we ain't did it. You did Lord. Help me with this. And Lord, bless me with that. No. It's a Lord, first request here, Lord, let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. In our lives here on earth, where? In our lives, where? Here on earth. How? In our lives, where? In our lives. Where? Here on earth. How? Just like it is in hell. You've been pursuing that, or you've been pursuing trying to get saved, trying to live right so that you could be an appeased God and get everything that God has for you. No, it'd be freely given unto you. You can't earn this. In the dispensation that you live in, the only thing, the power that's available to you is to receive God's grace and administer the same one to another. Say that again. The only power that's available to you, man, is to receive God's grace. To grab a hold of it, to seize it, to place it in your possession, to grab a hold of your inheritance, to grab a hold of your salvation, to grab a hold of our healing, to grab a hold of our provision, to grab a hold of our peace, our joy, our happiness. I tell you, man, we're trying to get God to do something that he hasn't already done. We're trying to get what we already have instead of having what's already ours. Say it again, but I say we're trying to get what we already have. Instead of just having what's already ours. We're trying to get blessed, man. God say, thanks be unto God who hath blessed us. That's past tense. He ain't trying to bless. He already has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, that's in Ephesians chapter 1. Thanks be unto God who hath translated us out of the kingdom of darkness. Over into the kingdom of his dear son. Hath, that's an old English word. That's past tense. Ain't something he's trying to do. That's something he's already done. Who has delivered us from the power of the darkness. Something he already done. Who has, man, healed us. By his stripes, we were healed. Who has delivered us. Who the son set free is already free indeed. And perfect law of liberty. Who has already done that? Who has blessed us? Genesis said, that's the first one that said it, man. When God said this, God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion. That's kingship, that's royalship, that's power, control, influence, authority. Excuse me, that's rulership, what? Over your domain, over your life. The Bible says, and God blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Right? And God blessed them. It didn't say God gonna bless them. It said God blessed them. You're already blessed. So you're trying to get what you already have. You're trying to get the blessing of God upon us, man, when man is they've been showered down upon us, man. You know I'm talking about all the way down through generation to generation to generation. But in our generation, in abundance and no lack. How come are we ain't getting all that and having all that? Because, man, you know, God say my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of what, Arthur? A lack of knowledge of the kingdom and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell. A lack of understanding of a lack of knowing, man, the laws that governs that. You know the laws that govern the children of Israel, man, during Moses' day. But do you know the laws that govern Adam and Eve in the garden? Do you know the laws that govern Cain and Abel? Do you know the laws that govern Noah and his family? Do you know the laws that govern Abraham, man, and his family? All those periods in human history when God was dealing with man, the law that he gave Moses hadn't even come into effect yet. They didn't even have those laws. They didn't come to Moses. Well, what about all the other people, man, who lived from Adam all the way up to Moses? They died too, even though they didn't have the same law that God gave to the children of Israel. What are you saying, Roger? I'm saying, boy, like a knowledge, man, you know, the devil don't ever want you to come to that knowledge. What knowledge is that? Man, listen, every time you hear this radio broadcast, man, I ain't got but one assignment. We're there. Go into all the world and make disciples of all mankind. Make students out of them. Learners. How? Teach them everything I taught you. So I began to study the Bible in a different light. I didn't study the Bible to get no sermon out of it. I studied the Bible to get the life that's in it out of it. I found out something, boy. When I first started reading the Bible, the first thing I started reading was the book of John. And it said this, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him who the Word was life, L-I-F-E, Zoe, that's not any kind of life. That's not human life. That's not natural life. That's life in the absolute sense. That's life, the God kind of life. Life the way God lives and life the way God intended for you and I to live. What? The same kind of life that he lived. Abundant life. That's superior in quality and superior in quantity. A whole lot of good life, the God kind of life, life the way God lives. Can you imagine that? Living like God lives. That's what Jesus Christ come down here and showed us, how to live. What he did, he ruled and reigned over every circumstance, every situation, and every symptom that confronted his life. What he did, he ruled and reigned over every circumstance, every situation, and every symptom that confronted his life. What's that? That's his domain. What's his life? That's his domain. That's his territory. That's his kingdom. That's his domain over which he rules and reigns over what? Every circumstance, situation, and symptom in his life. That's your kingdom. Boy, I tell you, man, God has already blessed us. God has already done everything. A lot of things he's asking God to do, he's already done. A lot of prayer we going to God and making petitions, man, should be prayers of thanksgiving. I tell you, we go in there, everybody say, man, we got this thing all battle because we don't know, man, how to, we don't know kingdom protocol. We know religious protocol. We know church protocol. But the church don't know nothing about kingdom protocol. The proper procedures on how to live, man, in the kingdom of heaven. I ain't talking about no any kingdom. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. Say that again. I ain't talking about any kingdom. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. The proper procedure on how to live there, in that territory, in that place. The law that governs that place. What law is that? That's the law of life. That's a law in the kingdom of God. That's a law that God gave out of man and Eve, mankind, the whole human race. Way before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Way before there ever was a need for the Mosaic law. So I gave him the original law, what the law of the first kingdom that he set up on the earth. in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Well, that's a law of life. Well, I told you I read in the Bible, man, in Genesis. I didn't understand it way back then. But boy, in John chapter 1, see, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Good God Almighty. But as many as grabbed a hold to it, what? The Word. What the Word was full of in him was life. Through the Word. Was what? Life. L-I-F-E. Zoe. Not human life. Not physical life. God kind of life. Life the way God lived and life the way God intended for you and I to live. Royal life. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, royalty. What is that? Man, that's in the Word. What's that, boy? What that is? That's the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. What is that? And the Word became flesh. Who became flesh? The Word. Became man, a human being. And we know him as Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what was he full of? Grace and truth. And what have we received? And of his fullness have we. Say that again. Of his fullness have we all received. You received the grace of God when you accepted Christ into your life. That's why I say, man, you got to first come to the knowledge of the kingdom of God. And then you need, man, that's why God give us our church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, not to stir up your emotion, make you feel something, man, but for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build you up, to train you, to teach you, man, how to live in the kingdom. Not how to live, man, your best trying to make it in to get to heaven, man, trying to make it to the kingdom of God. No, Jesus Christ ain't trying to get you, man, to heaven. He's trying to bring heaven to us. Boy, that's hard, man, to get across to the religious world because they start thinking you're a cult or something else or this or that or man, you know, and they're turning their view out because they've been steeped in religion. They've been conditioned and trained and taught, man, you know, to function with God through religious rituals and channels and traditions and ceremonies and everything else, trying to earn your inheritance, trying to get God to do what he's already done. Trying to get saved, trying to get healed, trying to get delivered, trying to get provision, trying to get what we already have instead of having what's already ours. Trying to get joy, I speak of being full of glory. Trying to get your heart, man, it might be broken. Trying to get, man, Jesus, I come to heal a broken heart. What you're saying, man, I'm talking about, I don't care what your life may have been in the past. You might have been down and out. You might have been going through all kind of things, man, to rob your joy, your peace, your happiness, your misery, man. I'm talking about, man, all the way up until where you are right now. Well, I come to tell you on this radio broadcast, boy, that they can stop, and they can stop today. Why? Because Jesus Christ, I come to heal a broken heart. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. Everything that seemed to broke your heart or disappointed you or caused you to be in despair and not to live, man, a life that you wanted to live and desired to live, man, well, when you come to Jesus Christ and boy, invite him to your life, and all that old things, all them old things that robbed your joy, that broke your heart, that stopped you from getting to your God-given purpose and destiny, all those things are passed away. I don't care what happened in the past. And maybe this did, and that did this, and he did this, and she did that, and this happened in my life, and that happened in my life, and all that. Man, all those things that came to steal, kill, and destroy, God, pray for the death of your life, all that passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Wow. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And all things are of God, not of what man done and what people done and what circumstances and situations and symptoms has done, man, to rob the joy of the Lord from us. But what God has done to restore the joy of the Lord to us. Where is that joy at? That's in his presence. Why that joy ain't been stolen from us? Because, boy, the devil, man, deceived us, man, and got us put out of the presence of the Lord. What Jesus Christ did, come cleanse us up, man, for what purpose? So that we can come back into the literal presence of the Lord. that we can come back into that place or that position in God that Adam and Eve had before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when they walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. Unbroken fellowship. That's a place. That's a position in God. And not a geographical location, it's a position in God. David called it the secret place of the Most High God. The presence of the Most High God. Adam called it the Garden of Eden in his day. Noah called it the Ark of Safety in his day. Abraham called it the Promised Land in his day. David called it the secret place of the Most High God in his day. Jesus Christ called it the Kingdom of Him in his day. And his day is still going on to this day. What it is, all of the kingdom of... Listen, as I get ready to prepare to get out this radio broadcast, I got to say this to you. Listen. All the things, everything that, you know, the destination for your whole Christian experience is in hope that, man, when it's all said and done, that you go to heaven and be with God, man, in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. And boy, let me tell you something. That desire put in your heart, man, by God, through the power of the Holy Ghost. So that's a God-given desire for to spend eternity in heaven with God. That's a longing desire of the heart of mankind. To do what? To spend eternity in heaven with the Most High God. Why is that desire in the hearts of mankind? That that's what you were created and born and brought to this earth to do. To do what? That's what you were created for, what? To spend eternity in heaven with God. But not in his heaven. Not in his domain. Because in that place, you can only be a prince or a princess. But God created you in his image, and he's a king. He wants you to be not as a prince or a princess. He wants you to be just like him, a king, a ruler. As long as you're in heaven, you can never be no king up there. But he's the king. You ain't never going to die. The only thing you can be up there in heaven is a prince or a princess. But it really ain't in your best interest to be just spending eternity in heaven, in God's heaven. So God created another territory, the universe. And in this universe that he created, man, he created a planet called Earth. The heavens, that's the universe. And the highest heaven, that's the heaven where God lived, the unseen realm. That belonged to God, the Bible says in the book of Psalms 115. That belonged to God. But the Earth, he gave to you. And the reason why that desire is in your heart, man, to spend eternity in heaven, because that's what you were created to do, to spend eternity in heaven. But you were created to spend eternity in heaven on earth. Say it again, brother. You were created, man, to spend eternity in heaven on earth. Not in the heaven, man, where God lives, the unseen realm. No, God established the seen realm and established the kingdom of heaven on the seen realm. In Genesis 1 and 2, man, we keep saying it over and over, called the Garden of Eden. God established that on the earth. What that is, that's heaven on earth. And the Bible says, there he placed the man. In that place, what? Heaven on earth. Every Christian is trying to do in order to get to what? To that place. What? To him. When the good news and what the devil don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of, man, and that, man, Jesus Christ ain't come to get you to heaven. He come to bring heaven to us. He ain't come in to try to get us, man, to the kingdom of heaven. He come to bring the kingdom of heaven, man, back to us. That's a hard thing to get across in the religious world, man, because the religious world prepare people to go to heaven. Jesus Christ come in and prepare people, man, to receive heaven, man, here on earth. Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. All of the kingdom of heaven. Prepare for you before the foundation of the world. Come get it. Come get that grown to you. Come get your inheritance. Instead of waiting for it in the sweet bye-bye, you'll find that it's in the right here and now. And you'll start staking claim on your inheritance. I told you, if you've had $1 million and somebody told you, man, that you were the heir and that you inherited $1 million, heaven and hell, man, to stop you from pursuing your inheritance. It ought to be the same way, man. It ought to be heaven and hell to stop you from pursuing, man, your inheritance. But the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Out of all the greatest things, I'm telling you, man, the destination, man, that every man, every woman, and every boy want to get to is heaven. Nobody don't want to go to hell. Everybody want to go to hell. When God loved you so much, boy, that he brought heaven, man, to you. He ain't trying to get you to go to hell. He trying to get you, man, to get into, to come on into the kingdom of heaven that's here on earth now. Listen, there's a future kingdom that's coming, man, and it's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. That's in another time, man. That's after this dispensation is over. You live in the grace of God now, but there's coming a time when Jesus Christ coming back, and he's going to establish the kingdom of David on the earth. Right now, boy, it's an invisible kingdom. It's in the hearts of man. But, boy, when he comes back, man, they're going to be on the earth. Right now, it's on the earth, but it begins in the hearts of mankind. The Bible says, where's the kingdom of heaven? Where's the kingdom of heaven going to come? They say it don't come with observation. It's on the inside of you. Where it begins at, it begins in your heart. And you got to put it there. How you put it there, man? By speaking it in your heart. By confessing it, by coming to the knowledge of it, man, and then speaking it into your heart. Believing it in your heart and confessing it with your mouth. But boy, maintaining that confession of faith, what? That boy, that's my inheritance. That by his stripes I'm healed. That by his grace I'm saved. That through faith, man, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Hallelujah. Well, that's my confession. By his stripes I'm healed. That's my confession. I'm the head, not the tail. That's my confession. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. That's my confession of faith. You know what the Bible says? Cast not away your confidence. Maintain your confession of faith and cast not away your confidence. Why? Because it had great recompense of reward. That's what the devil wants to try to do all the time, man, to get you, man, to line your words up, man, with what's going on in the world and what man is doing and what religion is doing and what politicians are doing and what governing system of this earth is doing. As long as you don't come to the knowledge of what God is doing. And man, I'm talking about God ain't trying to save you. God ain't already saved you. God ain't trying to heal us. He ain't already healed us. He ain't trying to deliver us. He ain't already delivered us. He ain't trying to provide for us. He ain't already provided for us. What he's trying to do, he's trying to get us to the knowledge of it. He's trying to get us to receive, man, what we already have. To grab a hold of it, to see it in the place of your possession, and start charting your course toward that destination. Start living and thinking and acting and talking and walking, man, like it's already done. That's what faith is. Faith is more than just believing the word and hearing the word and preaching the word and singing the word and having church around the word. Faith, man, is applying the word, acting on the word, even before you see the manifestation of it. Acting like it. Why? Because God said it. What your faith is in? Your faith is in, man, you know, the integrity, man, of God's word. If he said it, I believe it. Hallelujah. Because he's a man of his word. Hey, Lord. What? If he said it, I believe it. Why? Because he's a man of his word. He can't lie. And what that boy, and if he said it, and if I believe it, then we'll all act on. That's faith in action, man. Otherwise, it's just faith without works. But you believe, therefore you speak, and you act on it. And you apply it to your life, even before you see any manifestation. You start acting like, man, you are heir of God. You start acting like, man, that the kingdom of heaven is your inheritance. You start acting like, man, you're blessed in the city and blessed in the field. You start acting like, man, you know you are, like who you already are. You start talking like it. You start walking like it. You start saying, man, that the man of joy of the Lord is my strength. You start calling things that be not as though they were. You start learning how to operate, man, the laws of the kingdom, man, the law of sowing and reaping. You start speaking, man, into your life. You start using your creative ability. Instead of saying what is, you know, that's stealing your joy, your peace, and your blessing, and God pray for your life, you start calling for what you want. You start calling the thing that be not that though they would. You start calling your marriage blessed. When all hell is breaking loose in you. You start calling for the joy of the Lord, man, when there ain't no happiness in your life nowhere. You start calling for yourself healed by the stripes of Jesus when the doctor say you got 6 months to live. You start calling yourself, man, what God say about you. You start saying what God say about you, even when it ain't that way. You start calling it. And guess what, boy? When you call something, they going to start coming. Man, listen, more the blessing of God is waiting on us to call it. The healing of the brokenhearted, that's waiting on God. God waiting on us to call it. The joy of the Lord, waiting on us to call it. The peace that passes all understanding, waiting on us to call it. The fulfillment of our purpose in life and destiny that God has for our lives is waiting on us to call it. If it ain't there, man, that's all the more reason to start calling it. To start calling the thing that be not as though they was. To start saying, man, I got the best family in the world. I got the best wife. I got the best children. My children, the best. Instead of saying what it is, they might be the worst. Instead of saying what it is, start saying what you desire. What's other thing you desire when you pray? Believe that you receive it, and then you start speaking it. If there's any mountain, boy, you speak to that mountain. You tell it to be plucked up and cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever, not whatsoever you pray, whatsoever you say. See, when you pray, boy, that gets the answer sent to you. But boy, what you get up saying after you pray, that determines whether, man, your answer is received or not. I'm going to say that again as we close. Hey, listen, it's not what you pray that get the answer received. That get the answer sent to you. If you ask the Father anything according to his will, you can know that he hears you. If you know that he hears you, then hey, listen, his answer, his promises are yes and amen. So he's going to send the answer. But just because he sent the answer don't necessarily mean that you received it. I'm going to say that again. But a lot of answers to prayer, man, God didn't already answer. It's a matter of us receiving it or not. Have you received it? Have you grabbed a hold to it and seen it and placed it in your possession? Why? Because there are going to be obstacles and mountains and giants and everything else to try to rob it from you, just like it did Daniel prayer. But brother Daniel, man, got a breakthrough, man. And same thing with you, boy. You maintain your confession of faith and cast not away your confidence. Sorry, W.I. Because with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, you start confessing, man, what God say about you. You start confessing what God say about you, your purpose, your destiny. You start saying, man, what God say about you, man. You start saying that, and don't let it depart out of your mouth. But meditate in it day and night, so that not only you can say it, but you can start becoming it. And as you become it, man, then, boy, that's going to bring glory to God. Boy, that's going to bring manifestation to his word. And then the people will know that our speech and our preaching is not just enticing word of our wisdom or our knowledge of what we get, but it's in demonstration and in power. Why? So that the faith of the hearers don't stand in the wisdom of the man, but in the power of God. Why? In other words, boy, I'm talking about when the people start seeing the manifested word. Not only when people, man, we start giving people the seed of the word, but when we begin to feed the people the fruit from the seed that have been planted in our lives that have grown up to produce fruit of the word, the manifestation of God's word. So let me tell you something, you can't eat the seed, you got to eat the fruit. The seed won't nourish you, it's the fruit that's in the seed that will nourish you and protect you and keep you. How you get the fruit that's in the seed, you got to plant that in the ground. You got to plant that in your heart. You got to come to the knowledge of it and plant it in your heart. How you plant it in your heart? With your mouth. With the seed. What's the seed? The word of the kingdom. And you sow that, man. And let me tell you, if you sow that, what? The word of the kingdom, and it fall on good ground, then it will produce in our lives some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. We in Arthur. When we come to knowledge of man, what God is doing, that's observation. Then when we come to understanding of that knowledge, that's man, you know, being developed and taught and trained. And then when we begin to apply that knowledge that we understand, what? When we begin to act on that knowledge that we understand, when we begin to apply it to our lives, we begin to put it in our heart and meditate in it day and night, like God told Joshua, don't let this book of the law depart out of your heart, but meditate in it day and night, so that you might observe how to do according to what's written therein, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When you apply the word of God, not just speaking it, and not just telling one another about it, but applying it to our everyday lives, so that we can bear fruit. And herein is the Father glorified, the Bible says in the book of John, that we bear much fruit. Hallelujah. Why? So that we can feed the people, so that we can be planting seed in the lives of our lives, in the life of our circular influence, so that we can be eating fruit from the seed that we've already planted and cultivated. A continual cycle. Continue planting, continue cultivating, continue harvesting, continual cycle. Planting and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Speaking and having. What, boy? The message of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. The good news about the kingdom. And y'all, my time is about up on this broadcast today. And God wants you to know something, man. That it has already been prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And as you come to the knowledge of it and begin to apply it to your everyday life, application of the word of God, doers of the word of God, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, becoming who we already are, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, children of the Most High God, sons of the Most High God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. What's our inheritance? All of the kingdom of Him that will prepare for us before the foundation of the world. What's my message to you, man, every time I come on this broadcast? Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. All of the kingdom of Him. That's your inheritance. What my message is? Come get it. Freely. Freely receive and freely give it. And minister the same one to another. Listen, by his stripes we heal. By his grace we save. By his loving kindness, man, have we been provided for and everything. Already. So let's begin to walk into reality. How are you? By putting it in our heart, putting it in our mouth, meditating in it day and night, and getting it past our intellect down into our heart. Right. So that we might bear much fruit for all of the exceeding great and precious promises of the Most High God. To those promises, the Bible says we partake of the divine nature of God and escape the corruption that's in this world. That is corruption that's in this world. If you want to escape the corruption that's in this world, then you got to partake of the divine nature of God. How you partake of the divine nature of God? Through his exceeding great and precious promises. Hallelujah. So I see you clear and declare that you're already blessed. You're already saved. You're already healed. You're already living. You're already alive. And my prayer is that you begin to walk into reality. Line up on line, piece up on piece. Little by little by little. So it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the king. Listen, my wife, Gail, and I, we got to be a little service to you. And I want us to pray with you, believe God with you, for God's grace for your life. You can contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship World Outreach Ministry. Area code, phone number 713-870-3776. That's area code 713-870-3776. Hey, God's best for your life. In the name of Jesus. Talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.